You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
So it's April 3, 2019, here at fakeologist.com. John LeBong coming to you from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And I've got the big daddy-o of this website with me, Ab from fakeologist.com. Good to see you there.
Good daddy-o, big daddy-o, thank you. Hi, how are you?
Everything? Big Papa Smurf, achievement.
I'm sitting at the end of a runway here, east-west runway in Toronto. Not a chemtrail in the sky, but boy, do the clouds ever move fast with that west wind. We have a little expression in Toronto. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
Bit of a windy city, is it?
We just get weather, a lot of it, and it comes and goes quickly. It doesn't linger.
Have you ever been in a tropical downpour, like in a tropical rainstorm, thunderstorm?
Well, considering I've never really been in the tropics, I've been in Bahamas. I don't know if that's considered tropics.
I reckon it would be. Let's look it up.
You know what? Southern Florida, the Everglades. I drove through the Everglades, which is at the bottom of Florida, and it was raining so hard, I could really not see anything when I was driving. It was just, it was like being in a car wash, and I could not get out of it. I would call that very tropical weather.
Well, so would Wikipedia. Turns out that the Bahamas is tropical savanna climate. So there you go. You have been in a tropical storm before.
Well, that was in southern Florida, though. I wasn't driving in the Bahamas too much. Not too many places to go. It's a little island. Yeah, so
we get tropical rainstorms every day here. Every day, at some point in the day, there is a tropical rainstorm. I was on the monorail today, and it just stopped. And then I was looking out the front window, because these things are driverless. There's no driver, so you can just look out the front window yourself. So I'm sort of hogging the front spot to sort of watch where we're going, because to me this is really cool. I'm on a rail with no driver, yeah. And so there's this big tropical rainstorm and electrical storm, and all this lightning, and it's really cool. And I see the monorail on the other line coming towards us, and then all of a sudden it stops and we stop. We were stuck there for like might have been 10 minutes. So this storm must have knocked something out of whack, because we're all just stuck there. And this is just what happens every day here. There's a storm every day. At some point, if it's not raining when you wake up, then you know what's going to happen before you get home. It's going to rain. You know what I mean?
Do you think they cut the power to the tracks in case there's lightning and they don't want it to fry? Or?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't know. But all I know is we stopped just before we finished pulling into the platform.
Yeah.
So there were people standing there outside of the monorail who wanted to get on, and people on the monorail who wanted to get off. And they could have if the doors would open, because we were pretty much into the platform, but we were just stuck there. And then the other one, the monorail that was coming towards us, was nowhere near the platform at all. So it was just hanging, they were just sitting there in the middle of nowhere. So I don't know if it was like a blown fuse, or I don't know. All I know is we were stuck there. And I was like, oh, I've got nowhere to be, you know. I can just sit here and enjoy the storm. Who cares, you know. It's a novelty to me.
Sure, it's fun. Well, yeah, you'd have to ask a local if it happens all the time.
Yeah, well, the English here is, it's better than Thailand's, man, but it's not as good as I was expecting, to be perfectly frank. Mm-hmm. So I've stopped trying to strike up random conversations. I'm just sick of going through the same, I see.
What a cruel joke our creator made on us, giving us all different tongues. Can you imagine?
Did you ever hear the story about the Tower of Babel? Have you heard about the myth of Babel and spreading all the different languages?
Well, I read it. I don't remember it, but yeah, I get the gist of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that story's a hoax. But it is. It's a bit strange, isn't it? All the different languages. So, anyway,
it's a nuisance because really, so many negative things happen due to an misunderstanding. And I deal with a lot of mostly non-English speaking people. And I don't know if they're understanding any of my sarcasm or my annoyance with them. I don't know if they're really understanding what I'm saying. The English language.
This is largely Indian people in Toronto who you work with, is that right?
Yeah.
What do you think of Indian food? What's your opinion on Indian food?
I don't mind it because I like, as my palate becomes more insensitive as I get older, I find the hot spices are, they're not too bad in the mouth, but once they go down farther into the GI system, they start doing their damage like a bowling ball in a China shop. And of course, on exit, they can hurt. But I don't mind it. I don't mind it. A lot of vegetarian stuff. All Hindus do not eat the god they worship, which is the cow. You're not going to get any beef. So it's a lot of vegetable matter and beans and whatnot. So I don't mind it.
Did you know Malaysia has a huge Indian, like an ethnic Indian sub-population?
I don't know that.
Malaysia is like a mixture of three groups, right? It's genuinely multicultural, like genuinely multi-ethnic.
Yeah.
They've got
right.
the local Malays, they've got the Chinese, and they've got the Indians, all living in this relative peace with one another. And so the area that I'm in, full of Indian food. Like every restaurant I go past is just more Indian food. You know, and these people are like second, third, fourth generation Indians. So they consider themselves to be Malaysian. I mean, they are Malaysian, you know what I mean? But
do you think the British moved the Indians everywhere they wanted to get work done? Because I know they moved the Indians to the Caribbean to harvest all the crops there. And they're in north end of the British part of South America. Seems like the British love the Indians to do all the work.
You know, I hadn't thought of that.
But yeah, they're all over northern. They're in Guyana. I don't think they're really in Venezuela as much, but all the northern South American countries there.
See, I still haven't worked out why all the Chinese are here. Like, if it was the English who brought the Indians here, fair enough. But why are all the Chinese here?
The Chinese seem to go on their own. They go on their own. They seem to go. They they take another approach to conquering countries. I think they bring their labor in and their expertise, and they just build the countries in exchange for access to resources. They don't bring armies in. They just bring in workers. That seems to be their strategy. I think it's a much more peaceful, much more subtle strategy than landing a couple divisions of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. And the people don't mind it as much because they get roads, they get buildings. They just lose all their resources. But it happens like a boiling frog. They don't probably notice till the very end, and they might get mad.
Well, it's interesting. The Chinese are only a small proportion of the population here. Different people say like maybe 20% or something, 25%, but they seem to be overrepresented in higher levels of business. And it does seem like the Chinese, of all of the Asians, the Chinese are more business savvy. It just does seem that way, you know. I had someone try and explain to me once that if you could take these countries that have the Chinese populations that are overrepresented in successful areas of business and redistribute all of the money so everyone in that country has the same amount of money, give it a couple of years and before you know it, the Chinese will be running the show again. Because they're just more naturally suited to it than some of the other ethnicities.
Are they the new Jews of the New World Order?
Well, that's what this person said. He called the Chinese the Jews of Asia. That was his phraseology. And I was like, oh, yeah. I can
go.
Kind of get what you're trying to say.
I think the Jews went to power positions because they were put in there just to survive, because otherwise they would get nowhere. I still contend the elite put them there and gave them the opportunity to run things, because otherwise they would have had a big problem. And most of them were dirt poor in Eastern Europe over the last 100 years. So I think they were put there in place. And then just if you're brought up that way, saying, listen, if you don't become a professional, you're going to have a real hard time in the real world with all the other people. Well, maybe the Chinese can't be really called a minority, though, can they, if we believe there's a billion of them in their own country. So I don't really think they'll be a persecuted minority for being at the top. But, yeah, I think China is just a video. Maybe you're going to pop over to China. I think I'm going to have to go over to China and check it out, because from the videos I watch of what is happening in China, the insane development where they built cities, I can't believe this number, they're allegedly building 6,000 miles of freeway a year. That's like going from
Toronto to Calgary maybe, or Vancouver and back on making a paved highway. We can't even build 2 kilometers here. It takes 10 years. So if they're really going at that insane pace, that would be, well, it is amazing since...
I have no idea if they are doing that or not, but do you believe, you know that story of the ghost cities? You know how there's that story that, oh, in China there's cities that have been built and no one lives there? Do you believe that story?
I was watching 60 Minutes Australia, which seems to be more interesting than 60 Minutes America. I just started subscribing to them on YouTube. And they did an interview with an Australian architect who was building a particular city. He's building nursing homes in Australia, and he's building... given projects to build cities in China. Now, obviously, which project is far more interesting to him? So he spent most of his time in China. And he was just saying he'll make out a plan, a design for a whole neighborhood, and the next year they'll build it. None of this screwing around with development permits and whatnot. They just build it, man. And they showed some video imagery, which looks to be true, of people that wouldn't move out of the way of a highway. They build the highway around the thing. It's phenomenal. They don't.
Was this a recent 60 Minutes segment? Was
yeah,
it? I might have to go and
yeah,
look it up.
The last year. What's going on there? North Americans would, if they had any access to the outside world, which they probably choose not to partake in, they would be flabbergasted. That's all our resources over here. All our brain power has left Canada and is moving over there because the opportunities for growth are exponential. I think the Chinese economy every now and then sputters and stalls. But they are building, and I believe it, they're building a financial city somewhere, I don't know the name of the city that they're building, to compete with Manhattan as a financial capital, even though I believe City of London is the financial capital of the world. They were showing 30 skyscrapers. I don't know, 40, 50 stories tall. They've all been suspended right now because I guess the capital or the demand, they ran out. So they've paused an entire city of 30 skyscrapers. So I think the Chinese, because they have such power in the sense that their central government is so powerful that they just can bulldoze over any local, they get ahead of themselves. So they'll build an entire city for residents, but because they're trying to move 700 million poor people off the land into the cities, those 700 million they're not working to make the money to afford to live in these flats in these super cities they're building. So it's hard, like any business, to establish the proper supply-demand balance. So the supply in China is always way ahead. They'll build a highway. It appears to go nowhere, but I'm pretty confident that the cities will fill in to make it justify, whereas, of course, in North America, we'll build everything up and cause massive congestion, and then we won't be able to build the highway. So,
you're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Anyway, maybe
yeah, I get the story. I know that
tourists can go over there and check it out and see if.
Well, I plan to, man. The ghost cities are one of the three reasons why I want to go to China. The ghost cities. I want to see if they're real. Because they could be. You know, the story that you just told about how...
Is it a ghost city? Yeah, it's a city that was pre-developed, but it ran out of... It just didn't have any people because of the imbalance of supply and demand. Is that what they call a ghost city?
Well, the story that I first heard, we're going back 10, almost 15 years now, because the whole China taking over the world thing, this has been a meme for a long time now. So the story that they were telling us 10 or 15 years ago was, oh, they're building these cities because they want to move the people from the farms into the cities. But they build the cities too fast. There's no organic growth of community. No one wants to live there. Who wants to live in a city with no people, you know? So that could be a real thing. I want to go there and see if it's real.
They can't afford to live there. I don't think it's because they don't want to live there. I think it's just the people don't have enough money because they were covering how much it would cost. And the farmers have no money. They make $2 a day. Living on the farm.
Like, there's all kinds of explanations for why this might be happening. What I'm saying is, I just want to go and see if this actually is happening. That's what I want to find out.
Yeah, you should. That would be great.
It could be real. I don't know. It could be real.
Well, it does make
also,
sense.
Also, the Great Wall of China. You know, the Great Wall of China seems to be thousands of years old. I'm convinced that's a hoax. I think we'd be lucky to be more than a couple hundred years old, tops. Lucky.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was less than 100 years old, to be honest. Just tell the tourist, oh yeah, man, you're walking on a 6,000-year-old wall. People lap that shit up, man. They love it. Oh yeah, great, man, take photos and wow. People, you know, people used to man this mountain to stop the Mongolians and wow, you know, people love that shit. They're never double-checking anything. So I want to go and say that for myself as well.
I'm more interested in the future as opposed to the past. If the future... The future business
who
world,
controls the past controls the future. You have to remember that. Whoever controls our stories of the past. Mm-hmm. Straight up. Rick.
Well, yeah, so in a lot of ways, because they can recreate future based on the past and say, hey, this is what we did then. This is what we're either going to do now or not going to do now based on the past. I understand that principle.
And they're the authorities, too. Like, they're the authorities, the storytellers. So if they tell captivating stories about the past and people love the stories, they can also say, here's what we're doing going forward, you know. So, in the past, people used to die of polio, right? So now going forward, we're going to give these little babies vaccinations and save their lives.
Oh, I just did an article on morab.fakeologist.com where I'm doing a lot of my vaccine, anti-vax research, reposting. What have you?
What's your opinion on vaccines, man? What's your overall opinion?
Let me finish. Apparently, AFP, which is the replacement word for polio, I can't remember what the A stands for right now, something flaccid myelitis. Apparently, there's a bunch of children that are experiencing the same kind of symptoms that presented with polio in a certain area. I don't remember where, but... Polio was just renamed. It never went away, and I do believe that was simply chemical poisoning. Chemical or pesticide poisoning. And once they got a handle on that, then they brought out the vaccine and gave it to everybody. But the problem had already been eradicated as they banned or stopped using certain pesticide or chemical. Which I do believe they use these chemicals and pesticides in the third world where they don't know any better or where there's no regulation. So those people probably still get sick. Doesn't get reported. Just hold on one sec, John.
While Ab is tending to his other business, I'll just say for the good people out there at fakeologist.com, I know that some of you are averse to signing up as members of various online independent outlets, and that's understandable. But for those of you who are not averse to it, the High Side Chats just released a podcast about vaccines a couple of days ago. And Greg Carwood, the guy who runs their website, was interviewing a guy called, and I'm not going to look this up, let me think, Big Tree. Del Big Tree, which has to be a fake name, surely. Del Big Tree has to be a fake name, I don't know, but he spoke very well for 2 hours, man. This guy was just bullet point, story. It was pretty full on. And so, like, I've been skeptical of vaccines for a long time, but, like, skeptical as in not believing that they're necessarily good. Or necessarily bad. My issue was always, well, people shouldn't be forced. You know, they shouldn't be forced on little babies, and where's the evidence, you know? But I thought I'll listen to this one. I listened to it tonight when I went for a little walk. And, yeah, it was pretty full on. So if you are a subscriber of Fireside Chats, go and check the latest interview. Very interesting. And if you're not a subscriber, he does release the first hour free. So just look up Fireside Chats on YouTube, even just the first hour. It's probably worth your time. It's pretty full on, man, the whole vaccine thing. So I've got to double check. In fact, that's what I was doing tonight before I jumped on to this Discord server, is I was just looking through some of the claims that he made to see if they're true. Because if they are true, some of the things he said, like, for instance, this guy, what was his name, Big Tree, and he's apparently he's related to that vaxxed documentary, whether he made it or he's associated with the guy who made it, I'm not too sure. But anyhow, one of his claims was that officially 25 milligrams of aluminium is the safe limit to eat per day. So 25 milligrams per day is considered safe according to the FDA or whatever organization is responsible for this. And he claimed that the vaccine that is given to babies on their first day of being born, which I didn't know that was a thing, I've got to check that as well. He reckons there's a vaccine that's given on their first day in America that has 250 milligrams. So if it's only safe to eat 25 milligrams, which has to go through your digestive system and which is kind of filtered by your body, you know, your body filters the food it eats, then it stands to reason that anything you inject is probably, you know, 25 milligrams, if that's safe to eat, probably less than that is safe to inject, you would think. And yet they're injecting 250 milligrams of this aluminium in the vaccine. Now, those could all be fake claims. I have to double-check them now. This guy sounded pretty confident in what he was saying, so if this turns out to be true, that's pretty full-on, man. They'll just inject 10 times the safe eating amount into a little baby, and the dose is not sort of body-dependent. That is, they don't weigh the baby and say, oh, for the baby this size, we give it this. No, just bang, you know. One size fits all. Insane stuff, man. Insane stuff. But at the same time, you will, if you look into it, you'll find people claiming, oh, we've got studies that it's safe, we've done these meta-studies and it's safe, blah, blah, blah. Whereas you won't find that for ultrasound. Ultrasound, you'll find the studies that are like, oh, it's safe, but if you check the study itself, the study says, no, it's not safe at all. It retards the baby, literally retards the baby. That's their own studies. That's the official study. You won't find any studies proving safety for ultrasound. They don't even bother, because no one's asking any questions, other than me and Janice Barcelo, credit to her. But other than us, no one's asking questions. So while everyone's arguing about vaccines, are they safe, are they not safe, blah, 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 in the meantime, people are just cooking their babies in the womb, man. Just cooking that baby. Cook that baby. Give it a good cook. We want to see the baby. Yes. Anyway. High side chats. $8 US per month. Which, come on, man. What's that, $2 a week? Whatever. Practically nothing. So, anyway, I'm going to put myself on mute. I'll wait for Adam to come back. Just on the aluminium thing. Whether aluminium is dangerous or toxic, whatever, I honestly don't know. But it's been my suspicion for a while that, yeah, it can't be good for us. And one of the things that this guy claimed, this Dell Big Tree character, who was interviewed on the High Side Chats, as I said, he claims that even though there's lots of aluminium in the Earth's crust, there's no aluminium in the normal human activity or in our body. So in your body there is iron, and there are other so-called metals just naturally there. But there's no aluminium naturally, is what he claimed. I don't know if that's true, but that is pretty interesting if it is true that, you know, you can cook with a lot of metal utensils, or eat with metal utensils, and, okay, some of the metal might get into your body, but your body has those metals anyway. But aluminium, he's claiming no. There's normally no aluminium in your body. Completely artificial. If that's true, that's pretty full on. Now, for me, I don't claim to be the healthiest person, but there are some things that I try and do more of because I think they're good, and some things I try and do less of because I think they're bad. And for a long time, I've avoided aluminium. So, for instance, drinking alcohol, probably not good for you. However, if I'm given the choice between a bottle and a can, I will take the bottle. That's my preference. I usually don't drink Coke from cans. I don't drink Coca-Cola, generally speaking, anyhow, but if I did, I would be drinking from a bottle, a glass bottle, rather than a can. I stopped using deodorant years ago. Used to be one of those retards who just uses deodorant every day. These days I try and avoid deodorant, unless it's like a really special occasion, maybe a couple times a year where you can't afford to stink and scuff the place. But like, I don't have any deodorant in me now, for instance, in my room here. I've got all my worldly possessions. There's no deodorant here. I don't wear it generally. Don't use it generally. A lot of people use deodorant like it's going out of fashion every day. What else? Yeah, just generally. Like, my attitude isn't, oh, someone gives me a can of Coke and I think I'm going to die. No. But just generally not part of my life, generally speaking. Generally. Whereas a lot of people, it is generally part of their life. They will have a can of Coke or a can of whatever, or a can of beer every day. And it might be doing nothing. It might be completely harmless. Who knows? But even just the idea of having an acid sitting there in metal, you know, for a long period of time before consuming the liquid, ever since I started thinking about it, that seems strange to me. You know, and again, it could be nothing, man. It could be completely harmless. Who knows? But if you're going to drink Coke or drink alcohol or drink whatever is in you're drinking, if you've got the choice between a glass bottle and aluminium metal, yeah, it just seems sensible to me to go with the glass. But then again, like I said, it could be harmless. Who knows? I've got a lot of research to do. This guy gave me a lot of ideas of things I need to look further into. Which is one of the reasons I like those kinds of podcasts. If someone's making claims and they make it clear, here's my claim, here's what I'm saying is the case, and it gives you something to go and look into, I like that kind of thing. I appreciate it. At the end of the day, though, man, let's be honest. Let's not kid ourselves here. There's no stopping this, man. There is no stopping this. When you've got millions of people around the world who will happily cook their own baby just so they can see the baby, it's already game over, man. It is game over.
That's just fucking great, man. Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? Where's the real pretty shit now, man?
Are you finished?
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
That was Bill Paxton in Alien, the original Alien, 1986, I think. I haven't seen those films for a long time. Or Aliens. That was a sequel, right? 1986. So let's try that again. I'm trying to learn how to use this streamer tool, and I know for a fact, all of the clips I was playing last night were too low. So on the FAK file that was released by ad, I thought it was a really good clip show that I put together last night. I was pretty happy with that, but the clips are all, with very rare exception, too low. So they're hard to hear, which is a real pain in the backside. So apparently there's a way that you can increase the volume using this bot. So we're just trying to work that out, literally as we speak.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man. Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? Where's the real pretty shit now, man?
Are you finished?
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
There we go. I think we've got it. So that was 50% boosted. Let's try one more. And what's Bill Paxton talking about? Bill Paxton in this film is talking about how do you save the humans when they quite happily and readily cook their own babies in the womb, don't do everything to see if it's safe. How do you try and save such people? And what Bill Paxton is talking about is the state of things today.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man. Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? Where's the real pretty shit now, man?
Are you finished?
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll tell you who comes at night. Those nasty thoughts about the future of humanity. Just think to yourself, man. These innocent little babies in the womb, just minding their own business, happy as pigs in poo, just growing and floating and getting ready for a life in this place that we call Earth or reality or existence. And they're just minding their own business, and floating about, and then just, you know, they get fucked up, man. Fucked. Just minding their own business, and all of a sudden, they're the water around them, their home starts to just heat up for no reason, short, sharp bursts of this energy, and it just goes on for like half an hour, just getting cooked in there, getting messed up. Shit. And after the ordeal, like, stunned, basically, but they just go back to minding their own business, hoping that never happens again. And then, depending on just how completely retarded their parent or parents happen to be, could happen a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Some people going back for seven or eight of these things, man. Shit.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man. Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? Where's the real pretty shit now, man?
Are you finished?
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Maybe it sounds like you got the audio going.
Sing a couple of songs, good. Huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I wish we learned this ad before I did a 90-minute clip show. Because I was very proud
of
that clip show.
I can boost. I can try and boost the audio on that other show. I wouldn't much about it.
If you could do that, I would really appreciate it, man, because I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah. I'll give it a boost.
Pretty happy, man. I've got lots of plugs in there for your website, for my website.
Yeah,
lots of nice references to the other fakeologists and some 9/11 stuff. I've got some media fakery in there. And, yeah, I was very happy with the whole thing. So.
I don't have time to play with every track. That's why I definitely don't use Craig, because I can't do it. I don't have time. and the payback's not that good, but it's, I just don't have time. But I will try and just do an overall boost of the audio and see if that works. I can't really go to every single little piece clip and boost it. I guess I could. If I have time, 10 clips, I guess I could find
it. Yeah, I think there's 10 clips, man. It'll probably take you about 10 minutes to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess
probably
I could.
10 minutes.
I'll just find all the low parts and just amplify them.
Yeah, man. That'd be great. You just for a one-off. I'd really appreciate that, mate.
Yeah. And if anyone else, now we're talking about work, I have been using a website called Tube, Audio to Tube, or Tube to, what is it, Audio to Tube, whatever it is. I put it in the show notes or in the system notes, where I'm uploading the 15 minutes anyway of the audio chats to my YouTube channel. And it just uploads directly. I don't have to render it as a video. It does all that automatically. So if anyone else wants to do that and post the links anywhere, that would be fine. And that way you can put the audios on YouTube. As much as we don't like YouTube, it's just one of those things that you have to try and do.
Oh, I love YouTube. I love it. The problem is, man, YouTube doesn't love me, man. Got banned.
They're so
I had 7,000 subs, bro. I had 7,000 subs. Yeah. Had a couple of viral videos. It's all gone, man.
Well,
it's all
you know, I want to amend my statement that YouTube is a private company that owes nothing to its free users, which is most of us or all of us. But on the other hand, they have been granted, not necessarily by design, a de facto monopoly on music and video, and therefore they should be subjected to some antitrust rules where, okay, if you have a implied or a de facto monopoly, you should have to work in the public interest. And obviously by censoring truth, you're not acting in the public interest in any way. So in that sense, they do owe something to people like us that are not touting the lines.
Do you mind if I agree with you about that?
You want to agree?
So I get where you're coming from. Your position is like if government's going to grant these groups any kind of special privilege, or if they do enjoy special privilege, you know, there's antitrust laws, etc. So they should not be able to ban people's opinions. I totally get that. On the flip side, though, man, I don't think YouTube owes me anything. Like, it is sad, man. I lost all those subs and everything. But at the end of the day, man, I never paid YouTube a cent. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel they owe me anything.
Okay. One thing Google does very well, and it is illegal in most businesses other than this new tech business. I believe you can look it up. Someone can look it up. Napoleon loves looking stuff up. It's called predatory pricing. If you go into a business and start giving away the product at a loss and using other income from wherever to subsidize it just to drive your competition out of business, that's illegal, as far as I know. That might be racketeering. I don't know what the law is in the U.S., but that is very nasty, and big corporations can do that, especially ones that get government subsidies or government contracts. And what Google has always done is they will come into the market, whatever it is, and give the service away. So all the competitors that might have been starting up or already in business, they disappear because obviously you can't compete with free. And Google's done that with so many of my favorite software categories, including blogs, that what that does is eliminate or stifles competition, it stifles development, it crushes everything. And that's what Google does and is doing. And therefore, they better watch out because they should be broken up because they get government contracts. Whatnot, they take a lot of public money and destroy competition. And Microsoft has done it too, to different degrees. And Facebook, of course.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't mean to interrupt. I understand what you're saying. Like, one company should not be allowed to, under law, use revenues from elsewhere to come into an industry, basically dump the product, ruin their competitors, and then get a monopoly. The thing is, YouTube doesn't have a monopoly. They don't have a monopoly. Other companies are in business. I use Vimeo, for instance, right? I pay Vimeo a few hundred dollars a year, and they give me X amount of gigabytes to host videos. So all of my member videos,
but
I'm happy to pay that money because it's a good service. Like I'm happy to pay that money It's a good service. Yeah. We were getting YouTube for free, and we become, and by we, I just mean people in general, we become a bit pampered. We're like, oh, we deserve to have a free video hosting. It's like, well, hold on. It does cost money to run those servers, man. I still to this day can't understand how YouTube even makes money, honestly. I still can't work out how they do it.
A lot of it. Have you ever advertised on Google?
No. I haven't. You know what? That's a good question. I'm planning in the future to do...
a ton of money on advertising. You can buy...
I'm sure they do, man, but they spend a shit ton of money on running servers and... I mean, can you imagine the logistics of running all of the data centers that they would have to run in various parts of the world?
Well, I think the most expensive part of that is air conditioning, but I'm not too worried about them losing money. I think they have a de facto monopoly, and even if they got there accidentally, then the United States is pretty aggressive, or used to be, in breaking up monopolies. I know they broke up the phone companies, and the only thing I don't understand about them breaking up the phone companies is they allowed them all to re-merge maybe 10 or 15 years later. I don't know if that's because the government's policy changed, or they just thought that that's okay, but now we're back to media monopolies again. So maybe I think there's just the public interest demands that these monopolies get busted up. And even Amazon, in a way...
All right, let me try a different angle. What if I just went off on some crazy tangent, man, and just started being belligerent, being a problem for you with your website, just like basically making your website worse, right? You should have every right to say, listen, dude, you're not welcome here anymore, right? It's your website. You're the one...
I don't have a monopoly. I don't even have a sliver of a sliver.
On 24/7 Fakeology, yes, you do. Even my website, we're not 24/7 with the audio calls.
Nah, I really don't, though. You see,
Who else is doing what you're doing? No one.
Well, because...
That's why I keep trying to explain to people how important your website is. Because there's no one else doing this.
There's no demand. But there's no demand, obviously, because I can meet the demand.
Yeah, and people can say the same thing about YouTube. They can be like, oh, well, if people really wanted a competitor to YouTube, they'd go and make one. In fact, that's exactly what they do say.
But YouTube, again, is part of the Google enterprise. And if, say, you're right and Google is losing money, which...
I don't know if they're making money or losing it. I'm just saying could be making, given... I mean, how many terabytes of new video must be getting uploaded every day to YouTube? It must be some phenomenal amount.
Yeah, but Google cross-subsidizes YouTube. I don't know who you owned YouTube before Google. I don't know if I believe the... it's probably some guy in a garage. you know how these tech companies work. Some guy in a garage put two computers together and started hosting videos.
Can you believe that people still believe those stories? Like, the Lemmings believing that, fair enough. But anyone who's familiar with Fakeology should not believe those stories, surely.
No, first of all, at least where I live, the garage is really cold. I can't get anything done in my garage. I can barely fill my tires up. It's too cold in there. Who the hell, unless they refurbish their garage and seal it up, who's working in their garage? Nobody. Even California gets cold in the winter. Great. Anyway, that's a myth I don't agree with. Let me get back to YouTube. I did a post on fakeologist.com a couple days ago, and it was just a thought I had that all the real truth is pretty much gone off YouTube, and all the stuff that's remaining, of course, is somewhat YouTube-friendly. So I'm wondering, has YouTube done us a favor by only hosting the truth that isn't really truth, the fake truth, and getting rid of all the real stuff? So now we know what isn't real. Mandela Effect, Flat Earth, because they've allowed it to stay. But do an interview with Simon Shack, you're gone.
Is that true? Is Simon Shack off? Is everything with him off YouTube now?
I don't know if everything is, but Ryan Stavely just said he did his interview with Simon Shack was deleted. Now, there's nothing hateful in whatever Simon says. He's a very soft-spoken, hard-to-understand in some ways person. There's no way that can be considered hate or bullying.
All right, we'll get this, man. I just YouTube searched Simon Shack, right? Now, the search results you get can be dependent on your computer, your web browser, your account, all this stuff.
Sure.
But I'm not logged in because I got deleted from YouTube, so I don't even have an account anymore, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so the point is, the first thing that comes up is September Clues Addendum by Simon Shack, 150,000 views, 6 years old. The next thing that comes up is a Simon Shack channel, which has the avatar September Clues. Only 200 subscribers. Next thing is Simon Shack September Clues 2007. This one's 7 years old, 60,000 views. The next one, Simon Shack on Dustban by Questioning Our Reality, 120 views. And then this one, you're going to love this one, Marcus Allen versus Simon Shack. Only 4 months old, uploaded by Questioning Our Reality. So there is still, okay. I'm not trying to contradict what you're saying, but like, there is still Simon Shack on YouTube. Plenty of it.
But maybe none of those Simon Shack videos are dangerous. I haven't listened to every one of them or remember every one. But maybe the one where Ryan is saying some particular aspect of the interview was enough. Or maybe Ryan is targeted. But whatever the case, the other stuff that's left there, getting back to my original point, must be safe. Therefore, it's probably not really true or is misdirection. But the other stuff, the John LeBond stuff, the Fakeologist channel, which are all had some stuff on them or lots of views or connections, are all gone. Now, I have re-uploaded a lot of stuff, but it's obviously not being viewed properly.
Hello? I think you just cut out there. Or maybe I did. Give me a second. 2212? Have we lost Dab, have we? I think we've lost Dab.
Yeah, sorry. I got a call, and now I just brought it back. I'm here.
No, that's all right. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Like, it does seem as though there is some kind of purge going on. But I still just don't feel like YouTube owes me anything, man. Like, I'm sitting here right now in a hotel room in Kuala Lumpur. This never been possible without YouTube. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree.
And, like,
in the past,
a couple of days ago, I released probably the most important podcast. One of the most important podcasts I've done. I released that a couple of days ago. I recorded that sitting in this very seat in this very hotel. This is what I do now. Now, this probably won't last forever. It might last a few more months. Who knows? But however long this does last, it's pretty cool, man. And it only happened thanks to YouTube, who I never gave a cent to. Now, you can say, but they put ads on your videos, and they might, a little bit of money from you, but I doubt that they would have made back more than the hosting costs. And even if they did, it's their freaking business. That's their money, you know what I mean? They never forced me to join, and I got heaps out of using them.
I still go back to my monopoly argument. But what do you think about my idea that the only stuff on YouTube left is safe? Safe to present to the public. Everything else is just scrubbed.
Well, let me tell you this. I know a guy. He's a very intelligent guy, and he's actually been a positive influence on my life, I think, over the past few years. And he was the first person to ever interview Mark Sargent of Flat Earth Clues.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about me. I know. Thank you. Right. Is that there still?
That's a good question. Let's find out. Is Fakeologist... let's do a YouTube search. Fakeologist Flat Earth Clues. Give me a second here.
Do you use the search in Fakeologist bot search? Try that.
I haven't tried that yet. Flat Earth, get this, man. Flat Earth Clues Interview 1, re-upload, Fakeologist Radio. Flat Earth.
Okay.
You know, remember Del Qua? His channel comes up second link. His channel has 2,000 views. Flat Earth, the day Fakeologist rang Mark Sargent. So, yeah, man, you're still there at least twice. Whatever happened to Del Qua, man? When was the last time you spoke to Del Qua? I hope he's well. If you're out there, Del, I hope you're well, man.
Yeah, come back, Del. I think Del left the channel. He left the Fakeologist Discord, I believe. And you don't leave Fakeologist website. You log in. I can delete accounts. So he's decided. I think something I said, just like seems to happen with so many people, made him want to leave. But as I said, I don't do exit interviews. I don't know what the real reason is. But I know he doesn't come on here. I think he kicked me off his Discord server as well.
Well, the last post, you know, his blog spot is outside radio. The most recent post is from August last year. So we're going back more than 6 months.
I hope he's okay. And Discord's funny. When you get kicked off a server, the only way you know is the icon on the left disappears. If you have a lot of icons, you may not notice right away. So if the John LeBond icon disappears from my Discord application, I'll know you kicked me off.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
But you don't
get
an email.
I don't like to talk about honorary memberships too much, because if you do, people start going, oh, well, I deserve one. And it's like, well, no, there's like three people who do. The two guys who I used to do a podcast with, who got me into all of this in the first place. And then the guy whose website got me into Media Fakery and helps get me a large proportion of my early membership. Those kind of people are honorary members, but that's it, pretty much, you know. But the problem is everyone thinks, you know, this has been a long journey, you know what I mean? This has been a very long journey, and certain people along the way, whether they meant to or not, have had a huge helping hand in that. Do you know what I mean? Huge helping hand. So, I don't see you disappearing from our server anytime soon, unless you start trying to deny the ultrasound hoax. Then I'll have to revisit my policy. We don't tolerate ultrasound hoax denies at johnlevon.com. This is my pet topic right now.
We do agree that we can't agree on every single thing. We do agree on that, I believe.
Yeah, and like I used to have a very different view on things like immigration to what I do now. These days I'm like, I don't even really care anymore, man. You know what I mean? I still think some of the things that are said in the media and at school and stuff is just complete nonsense, but at the end of the day, man, Bill Paxton style, it's all over. You know, why worry about it? Yeah? So over time, sometimes views can converge.
There's nothing you can do about that. Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. And look, I'm here in Kuala Lumpur, man. I wish these people would let me stay here forever. Yeah? Like, the best accommodation I've found, minimum 3 month stay, right? It's perfect. Perfect location, perfect price, perfect room. Just everything's perfect about it. Minimum 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, man? I only get 3 months, and I've already used up a week, and you have to give 2 weeks' notice to move in. So I'd have to pay these people 3 months to live there for 2 months. Well, I'm not going to do that. It defeats the whole purpose of the whole thing, because I can't stay here forever. Wouldn't it be great if I could stay long-term, you know? Like, immigration, I'm not against it prima facie. Problem is that in countries like Australia, it's all take, no give, you know what I mean? That's the problem. But the point of my story is, you and I disagreed about that a few years ago, whereas now we're probably, I would guess, our opinions are probably closer now than they were 3 years ago. Do you know what I mean? So even when you do disagree, well, big deal. Revisit the topic a few years later, see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the immigration thing is a Western world problem, and nothing's going to change as long as established Western natives stop reproducing, and they cannot or should not be surprised that in order to create a sustainable economy, you need to grow it. And you don't grow it by not reproducing. Simple. End of story.
Yeah, but then there is a part of it, like how many of these people are unable to reproduce. Like, it's not that they're choosing not to reproduce. They're physically unable to do it. Like, infertility, man, is going through the roof.
Well, no, it hasn't. It's people delaying reproduction that causes the statistic that is infertility.
Is that the only thing? Is it only conscious choice? Is it only conscious decision?
I really think it
is.
Women delaying childbirth is the number one cause of infertility. You're a woman's most fertile when she's 13. And we don't agree. Society doesn't agree that that's a great time to reproduce for other reasons. But
I wonder what those reasons are. Without going too far down some controversial avenues here, it is strange, isn't it, that the cultural norms today are so different to the biological truths. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know when older cultures used to reproduce, but most cultures consider 13, the teen years, which is a marketing invention. 13 was an adult. Biologically, you're an adult at 13. Maybe men, it's more like 15 or 16. But a woman is an adult physically at 13. End of the story. So you'd have to go back into your history hoax archives to see when people normally reproduced.
Yeah, and the problem is how reliable is history? You know what's interesting is in Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, the first chapter, they're talking about how they're lowering the age of maturity. They're trying to make the humans who they're hatching reach physical maturity quicker because they're like, once upon a time, humans needed a long time before reaching adulthood to learn how to be a good member of society or a good human. These days, because the Epsilons are so stupid, they don't need that much time. We want them to reach physical maturity sooner. Now, the stories are that, just hear me out. The stories are that girls in the Western world today are reaching puberty earlier than they were in the past. I don't know if this is true, but this is what people are telling me, that girls are getting their first periods sooner and sooner. I don't know if this is true. How the hell would I know? But this is what I'm hearing. And it would fit in perfectly with Brave New World, wouldn't it?
I don't believe that at all. I think that there are certain hormones in the food to make chickens grow in 20 days instead of 3 months that probably affect us in some very slow way if we eat a chicken a day kind of thing. But I don't think the biology of the human being has changed all that much.
You know the official stories that it has, though? Like, officially they're saying, yeah, girls are having it. And they're like, oh, we don't really know why.
I don't think that's official anything. I think that's a few media stories. I don't think that's official anything, honestly. I haven't seen any official study or double-blind study or any Lancet study on that. I think there's a couple media stories, just like there's tons of media stories about 1,100 magic number animals washing up on the shore dead, which is usually some kind of bat signal that something's about to happen.
So you think girls are having their first periods at the same age now as they were 30, 40 years ago? I don't know, man. You have daughters. You have daughters, and they have friends, and you have a wife, and all these things.
Well, I don't take a poll of when the friends had their periods, but I'm pretty sure.
But you're more likely to hear this stuff, whereas how the hell do I have any idea? I have no idea what's going on.
I barely know when my children started. I didn't do the mechanics of that. I had nothing to do with it.
All right, well, I believe you, but you can still at least see how I would assume a man who has a family. At least you're more likely to hear this stuff. I literally have no freaking idea, man.
I know. Well, you should find out.
I'm trying to find out, and you're telling me you don't know anything. I'll ask the minister.
Basically, when a girl gets into their double digits, that's when things start to mature. By the time they're 13, they're almost 99% chance that they're ready to reproduce. Not mentally, but physically. Now just give me.
Well, the official word for it is men. How do you pronounce this word? menarch. Menarche or menarche or menarch. I didn't even know how to pronounce that word. That's meant to be a girl's first period. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes I feel completely idiotic.
Play it.
Well, that has to go and send through his work because he's got other things to do.
You can do a search from commands as well. Try the search function. It's really great. You can play videos by number. Try it.
I did see that when I was playing around with this bot last night. I did see that function. It looks pretty cool. I'm just glad we've got this volume problem sorted out. Because I listened back to last night's my little clip show, which I was pretty proud of. I was proud of that little clip show. But the volume was all messed up, man. So I'm glad we got that fixed up. So let me go and find a couple of clips to play here. It's fakeologist.com. It's 10 to 10pm local time. Here in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, April 3, 2019. This is fakeologist.com. I'm a guest here, John LeBondolo. I'm kind of a guest, but I've been here for a long time now. When's my first time as a fakeologist? Early 2015. That's more than 4 years ago now, isn't it? It was the TransAsia disaster. Let me see if I can find anything about TransAsia. I'll bring it up now. Give me 1 second.
These are the last terrifying seconds of the flight. Slowed down, the footage shows how the plane narrowly misses a block of flats. One of its wings hits a car as it disappears from view. These photographs capture the same last moments, the aircraft out of control and almost at 90 degrees as it plunges towards the river. Parts of the plane were left scattered on the bridge, the fuselage half submerged in the water below. This part of the Keelung River is shallow, and that has probably saved lives. Rescuers were quickly able to get to the wreckage by boat and pull the survivors, among them a small child, to safety. Local media reported that the plane had just taken off when it lost contact with air traffic control. The twin-engine turboprop was on its way from Taipei to the island of Kinmen, which lies just off the Chinese coast. It's not known what caused this accident. The plane belongs to the airline TransAsia and is the second of the company's aircraft to be involved in a crash in the past year. Ben Gagan, BBC News.
Yes, thank you.
That's a little news clip from the TransAsia disaster. So Taiwan is this little island, or maybe there's a few islands, but there's one main one that are off the coast of China. And it's not officially part of China, but it kind of is, blah, blah, blah. Very Chinese area, though. It's basically an island of China that's kind of separate. You get the idea. And so back in 2015, at the start, there was this plane crash And what had happened was, up, like leading up to that point, the so-called truth movement on YouTube was growing, and it was fun, it was energetic, I was a part of it, and at that time I was still a pretty, I mean, I'm still a nobody to this day, but now I do have some kind of audience, whereas back then I was still very, I was more of a listener than I was a contributor, really. I'd only just begun my podcast a couple of months before. And so what had happened was, a number of the leading YouTube figures had gotten together, started a weekly YouTube live stream talking about the hoaxes, such as Sandy Hook, Boston bombings, all these things. None of the big hoaxes like evolution, dinosaurs, nuclear bombs, nothing like that. But at the time, none of us really knew about that stuff. All we knew about was Boston and Sandy Hook and this kind of thing. And so this show was getting bigger, and it was fun. It was full of younger people. There was older people as well. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being older. I'm getting older, and given 20 years, I will be an old man. Don't worry about that. But there's a certain energy that comes with youth. And these guys were attracting a youthful, energetic, creative audience. It was full on. And it was all going great, man. Like I've been doing this for 5 years. One of the best moments of all of this was dead set when I was at my apartment in St. Lucia, which was right near the university I used to study at. And we were doing a Christmas special, a New Year's Eve special. And so I was just sitting there in my room by myself. I was having a few beers, and I was having all this fun with these people from around the world, just laughing at all the hoaxes. And it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. I've had lots of good moments from this. I've met lots of people in real life, had good moments. It's been an amazing journey, but I mean, I'm sitting here right now in Kuala Lumpur, in the hotel. You know, I've been overseas for 5 weeks, hopefully another 5 months, who knows, man. So lots of cool shit has happened from all of this, but seriously, one of the most fun times was just sitting there with these guys, just having fun, laughing at the nonsense. It was great. And then a couple months later was TransAsia, I'm pretty sure it was February of 2015, and it caused this massive schism, however you pronounce that word. I think it's schism. Let's call it schism. Massive divide right down the middle, where some people were saying the event was real and some people were saying the event was fake. And without naming any names, the point of the story is that basically all of the leading figures all took a stand. And it's kind of crazy looking back. If you're like relatively new to Fakeologist or to JohnTheBond.com, this is all going to sound bizarre, but seriously, man, they tried to throw me into the middle of this. I still am a nobody, but back then I was an even bigger nobody. And they tried to throw me and the podcast I was doing at the time into the middle of it. Because we were like, oh, maybe the event is real, maybe it's fake, you know, all that matters is that we focus on the fact that the TV is lying and blah, blah, blah. And they tried to throw us into the middle of it, which to this day I can't explain exactly what was going on there. What I can tell you is that PK Truth was one of the leading figures of all of this brouhaha at the time. And PK, it turns out, is an actor. And he's open about this. He's spoken about it. He's not a leading actor. He's a part actor, a extras actor. But some of the extras acting he's done has been very prominent on screen. For instance, he was literally Nicolas Cage's right-hand man in the film Knowing, 2009. Now, that was filmed in Melbourne, which would explain why PK was an extra there. Sometimes Hollywood films are filmed in Melbourne. There's a film studio there. And so there's been several films that you would have seen that were actually filmed partly or in full in Melbourne. And Knowing, 2009, is one of those films. Now, if you haven't seen the film Knowing, you might be wondering, well, what's the significance here? The film Knowing is all about predicting events in advance. It's all about events almost being scripted either by humans or by the cosmos. And in that film, PK is featured several times, including one scene where he's Nicolas Cage's right-hand man. And what happens in this film Knowing? Many things, including Nicolas Cage finds out that, holy shit, he's got the code, he's got this piece of paper from the past which predicts all these events, but they haven't all happened yet. So basically he's got all these events that have happened in order, but now he's also got what's going to happen next. So now he's trying to warn people. As he's driving to go and warn people about, holy shit, guys, I know what's going to happen, there's a plane crash.
I want each of you to draw me a picture of what you think the future is going to look like. Then we'll put the picture in the time capsule, and 50 years from today, a group will open it to see what you drew.
What are you doing with this? You weren't supposed to bring this home. It belongs to the school.
But maybe it means something. Like a math puzzle or something.
Stay with me. I know how this sounds. But I've matched these numbers to the dates of every major global disaster for the last 50 years in perfect sequence. Earthquakes, fires, tsunamis. The next number on the chain predicts that tomorrow, somewhere on the planet, 81 people are going to die in some kind of tragedy.
Just step back. Have another look at it. Systems that find meaning in numbers are a dime a dozen. Why? Because people see what they want to see.
Is everything okay?
I'm sorry, sir, but you need to get back to your car.
Anybody hurt?
A couple of injuries, but nothing serious.
The numbers are a warning.
When the numbers run out.
John, could you, could you play that video of the... I did a search of a plane crash in Markham, which is near Toronto. It was another small plane where someone caught the video on supposed dash cam, and I could not help but think of Taiwan, which is how you got going, reference that. And I did a quick search.
I'll look that up for you. I'm so glad you said that. I forgot that was the key video footage, wasn't it? Was the dash cam footage of the plane that supposedly flew into the river, yeah?
Yeah. And the one in that happened just a couple of weeks ago here, it looked exactly the same. I didn't really give it much thought, but the plane flying across the road, it looked the same.
Now, can you believe that was 4 years ago now, the TransAsia event? 4 years,
seems
man.
Forever ago, forever. But play that video, and I'll show you.
I'll see if I can find it. Hold on. So you reckon there was a plane crash in Toronto?
No, I know, but you didn't see the commands. Just type in, now that I have a minute, type in research. It'll go to the last search. Research. There it is. See how beautiful this bot is? And number two, you can,
so you
I don't know.
You just press hyphen two, do you? Let's try that.
Just press
two. Oh, no, hold on. Play, have it hyphen play two. That should work, yeah?
Just say two. No, just the number two. No, stop that.
Yes. What have we done, mate?
Stop that. Yeah. Now, just type in...
I'm willing to bet that's not a plane crash video. Video.
No.
All the cute noises.
Go back to research so it'll bring up the last search, because what you just did was not a search. It'll bring up there. Now just type the number two, enter.
All right, let's try that.
That's the beauty of that. This video might just be a video without talking, because all the news people, all the news companies around here, they don't do audio tracks, they don't play anyone, so they just do a slideshow as part of a news report now, with text. It's really ridiculous. So this video here obviously has no actual recording. I don't know if they're doing that in Australia.
Yeah, they've got no reporting in that one. That's just a little Cessna, though. So, like, that's a little... I watched the video while I was listening.
Yeah, I know, but did you see the way it flies over?
I didn't catch that, no.
No, you'll have to go...
I'll watch it again.
You could just press, one.
Oh, yeah, no, I've just watched it, hold on. You get, like, I don't know, maybe half a second of frames of...
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. Look... I've only just watched this literally 5 seconds ago. I think that one could be. I'm not saying it is real. I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be. The thing about the TransAsia one was, it just seemed completely unnatural. The the movement of the plane, because it was like normally the wings are horizontal. Yeah, in the case of TransAsia, it was 90 degrees barrel roll. Yeah, and
but then the way that the wings. Story there. The TransAsia was a bigger story. There was people in the water and a rescue and all that. So there was way more.
You know,
stuff
my hey, get this, man. My first ever YouTube video for John Le Bon, because I've been podcasting for a few months before that, but my first ever YouTube video for John Le Bon was looking at the CPR of some of the survivors of the TransAsia plane crash. That was my first. If you look up JLB1501, or you can't look it up now, but JLB1501, because I give all of my videos the kind of like a number, like a number system I use.
Yeah.
1501 is the TransAsia CPR. Can you believe that, man? I used to actually put all this time and effort into the baby hoaxes, you know? And that was the first ever one I did was TransAsia. 4 years ago, man. Talk about a trip down memory lane here with fakeologist.com. 4 years, man. What a crazy 4 years it's been.
You're all grown up now.
I'm a veteran, man. I remember when I first got here, it was almost intimidating, like all those people who knew about all these hoaxes.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like, wow, how do these people know about so many hoaxes? And then, you know, eventually sort of, I don't want to say move beyond them, but, you know, a lot of people here still haven't worked out, you know, some of the hoaxes that I have worked out. So you go from sort of being intimidated by how much people know to sort of feeling like, oh, yeah, you know, we've all got our own level, you know what I mean?
I do. Let me just try one more for it for a laugh. See if this one works. I don't hear anything.
The bot's not doing anything. Did you press the number?
I did. I thought I did. Type dash NP. And now
let's go on number 6. Let's see number 6. That one looks promising. Let's have a look.
Well, the other one must have been another slideshow.
Oh, no, he's out. The bot's gone. Bot gone. That's okay.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dreams, yes, thanks to all the johnlebon.com people that have come over to sign up. There's been a few of them, I believe, and also come to visit, not just support financially. We had, I believe, Laura Mars, Philip, I believe, is someone from, they call it, or from johnlebon.com.
Yep, and he found my work through the High Side Chats.
Right, that was a good one. JPC, that's what he wants me to use his initials.
He's a Canadian, bro. He's a Canadian.
Yes. He sent me, well, I posted his introduction under fakeologist.com membership forum, and yeah, he moved to the East Coast here to get away from the high prices of Toronto real estate. But not all of Canada is out of the range of young people in the real estate market. It's just the super cities.
Are your daughters old enough now to be worried about stuff like that, but they're still sort of too young to worry about like adult concerns about real estate? And
no, they're too young.
Because in Australia, once you reach your late teens, early 20s, especially if you go to university or whatever, it's just kind of a rite of passage to sort of feel victimized. I can't afford a house, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a hot button issue with young people in Australia.
Yeah, same here. It's looked at, and I think our finance minister threw a couple incentives in to change the real estate. Potential real estate investing for young people. One thing, I don't know what's going on in Australia. Someone asked me, why is the real estate so inflated here? And
it's the Chinese, surely.
No, it's not. I think it's a lot of dirty money, because when people are trying to money launder.
Dirty Chinese money, bro. Come on.
No, it's not. I'm not going to give it a. Chinese have a lot of money, a lot of our money that we could have had had we industry here. But money laundering through real estate is what I believe to be a big business here. It's because I don't know what the laws are in the U.S., but if I just come in and pay cash for real estate here, there's no tracing of where the money came from. Whereas I don't think you can walk around with more than $10,000 anywhere in the U.S. before you have to fill out a form. And I think their real estate, you cannot pay cash for houses without tripping up a whole investigation or a paper trail with the IRS. But here in Canada, nothing like that. So there's a lot of speculation. There's lots of money flying around the world. It's dirty money, and we all know what money laundering means. You just run it through one legitimate transaction, and after that, whether it be business, real estate, but Canada's laws are loose there, I believe. So that could be one aspect of it. Not the only aspect, but it could be.
Well, it's definitely not the only aspect, because we all know that the Chinese have inflated the prices in Toronto, Melbourne, Sydney, New Zealand, a couple of cities there as well have just gone through the roof. And this is no criticism of the Chinese, you know what I mean? You can't blame them. Like, well, if they want to...
Well, they're making big money. They're making big money. They've got all the industry.
They're shrewd businessmen. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
Well, I don't think they're any shrewder than anyone else.
Come on. Yes, they are. Some ethnicities and cultures are just more shrewd with money than others.
I don't think it has anything to do with genetics. It's just the way they think and the way they raise their children.
It might not be genetics. It might just be a cultural thing. But whether it's cultural or genetic,
I don't believe in genetics either anyway. It's cultural.
But you do agree that if two Chinese people have a baby, it comes out looking Chinese. And if two white people have a baby, it looks white. So there's some kind of hereditary passing on of characteristics.
Right. Well, if two dogs have a baby, it's not a cat. Same idea.
Same basic idea, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I've got no issue with the... Dude, you know, I can actually speak a little bit Chinese. This is one of the reasons why I want to go to Taiwan. I want to go to Taiwan for two reasons. One reason is to go to the Keelung River and inspect this TransAsia disaster for myself. 4 years late, it's a cold case, but I'm on the case. Other reason is because they speak Chinese there. Like, you can't really get by if you can't speak Chinese. It'd force... Yeah, ni hao, very good. It'd force me to sort of brush up on the old skills.
That's all I know.
That's it, just ni hao?
That's it.
Not... Really,
I don't even know, was that Cantonese or Pekingese or...
No, that's Mandarin.
All right, we have...
There's plenty of Chinese around you, though, isn't there? Like, there's Indians, but there's Chinese as well, right?
Oh, we have huge sections of Toronto that are Chinese. Absolutely.
Xie xie. Thank you. If you know how to say hello and thank you, you're golden. Xie xie.
We just had a story of a 22-year-old in Toronto, Tutu. But let me just, I want to see why this isn't playing, because this bot is also being, is a work in progress, and tryptamine is looking for bugs. I think we just found one. Can you type in, if you could, just type in dash research, and then try and choose any of those videos for playing with the number, and if it doesn't work, that's a bug.
So I should just put just the number, no other characters... Yeah. I'll try number 10. Hold on.
Well, Michael, you can see that emergency crews have done a great job of getting things back to normal here. It's almost
hard to believe that.
Just hours ago, there was a plane sitting right here in the middle of Lansdowne Street in Peterborough. That plane crashing down here just before 1:30 this morning. There was just one man on board that plane. As you mentioned, he died in the crash. Now, fortunately, it was so early in the morning. You can see this is a busy road right now. There were no cars on the road at that time, so there was nobody else involved in the crash, nobody else injured in this crash. But there were a number of witnesses who converged on the scene moments after the crash. In fact, we spoke with one man who happened to be driving down Lansdowne Street. He says he pulled his car over, pulled out his phone, and immediately began to Facebook Live.
Now, that is... That's
we spoke to one guy, and he said that he was just watching. He was sitting with his roommate a couple blocks away. He saw this plane come out of nowhere and ream into the side of the Twin Towers, exploding through the other side. And then, of course, he witnessed both towers collapse. One first and then second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Well, yeah, they just get through saying that it's 1:30, there's nobody around, and next thing you know, there's two witnesses. So what is it? Was there no one around or lots of people around at 1:30 in the morning? That is the main street in that town. I know I used to go there every single week. I used to go through that intersection when I went out there. Every week I went through that intersection. And when I went the next day or two, there was no evidence of anything happening. And when you knock down hydro poles and all those kind of things, they don't get fixed instantly. They take time. So that, I'm sure, was a complete hoax, that story. Sure of it.
Fair enough. Now, let's ask a question, because time is getting away from us. Is it true that you've kind of gone off the EGI thing recently. Is this true? You kind of moved on from it?
Well, I haven't. Your interest comes and goes, but I haven't posted much on EGI.
Maybe we should give some context for the listeners. So maybe a year or maybe 18 months ago, you were a guest on a radio show in Canada that you're a big fan of. They claim to be a satellite radio show. Is it really a satellite? That's another topic.
Well, they've already
Humble and Fred. Humble and Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've been banned.
So get this, man. Ab, for listeners who are new to all of this, Ab has been a fan of Humble and Fred for a long time. He used to tweet them, and they would sometimes read out his tweets and mock him, but Ab was just happy to get the attention. Anyway, somehow Ab got himself a spot as a guest on their show, and all they wanted to talk about was EGI. Because at the time, that's the main thing Ab was talking about, was an EGI stands for Elite Gender Inversion. In other words, transvestigations. At the time, Ab was going crazy on transvestigations. He interviewed Mr. E. What was his name? Mr. E3000? Mr. E2000? Something like this. Mr. E something. Or was it the other guy? What was his name? Something cute?
Sorry.
Cute guy? Something. Some dude. I can't remember his name. A big guy in transvestigation. Ab interviewed them. So this was Ab's favorite topic, and Humble and Fred, his normies, got him on the show, and basically just... Like, in their mind, they would have thought we're giving this guy enough rope to hang himself. But Ab, being the clever, cunning dude that he is, was quite happy to be mocked if he just got lots of airspace to share his thoughts. And so, so once upon a time, Ab, you were huge on the EGI, but apparently I've been hearing around the place that you've kind of gone cold on the old transvestigation.
I don't know who talks about it. I don't even talk about it. No, it just went down in terms of popularity on YouTube. And I'm not talking about not deliberately. It's just that the YouTubes that I was watching, I didn't even know Mr. E was back full time on Trent's new channel.
Was that the dude? Who was the dude you interviewed? Was it Mr. E or
Mr.
Human
E? I like
Handsome.
Yeah, John Humanity. I interviewed both of them.
That's
I,
the
I
one, John Humanity. That's the one you interviewed in.
And let's put it this way. They're not aliens that lead us. I don't believe we're ruled by aliens or reptiles. I don't believe
that's right, because John Humanity was going on about the aliens. I remember all of
that. No, I'm not sure he was. That's the official conspiracy angle that all the mainstream likes to mock us with. Oh, you believe in aliens and reptiles. Are ruling over us, and the Jews are reptiles, all that horse shit. No, but if you believe that certain individuals are somehow modified, I don't know how, and it's total speculation, of course, but I think most people agree, even people that I'm related to, you can put a sperm and an egg in a test tube, mix them up, introduce them to each other, and you have children. Now, that works. I have lots of evidence of that. I have nieces and nephews that went through that, and they're perfect people. Now, if you can mess with that process somehow, with hormones, I don't know how you do it, and make people into somehow affect their development, which affects their sexuality, their sexual development, then I believe that it's possible that these people exist out there, and they are... I believe that the intelligence agencies grow people. They literally go to sperm banks.
Well, here's why I ask you this. Here's why I wanted to bring this up with you since you were on the call tonight. So last night I had a couple of sherbets and I had a nice call on Fakeologist. I was very happy with it. And then once I wrapped that up, I thought I'll just chill out a little bit. And YouTube was ringing all these songs. And one of them was Gwen Stefani, who was big back in the day. She was the lead singer of No Doubt, which was probably in the 1990s. And then she had like her own single solo career in like the mid-2000s, right? And I saw this song of hers, I've never seen the film before, and it's just a close-up of her. That's the whole film clip, is just her listening to her own song. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And I had one of those moments where I was like, uh-oh. You know those moments I'm talking about? Where you're just like, uh-oh. You know, like where there's this girl who, when you were younger, you thought she was gorgeous and blah, 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 but now you're looking at her with eyes to see, and you're thinking, this girl might not be a girl, if you know what I mean. Gwen Stefani.
Well,
so,
yeah,
and
no,
if you listeners
I
out there, if you are like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Just look up photos of Gwen Stefani and tell me if you're 100% convinced that she is as she presents. Because she could be. I don't know. She could be. Okay? But I just had one of those moments where I was like, uh-oh. This is
John, I still think there is an in-between, some hermaphroditic type of process going on. They could all be the easiest Occam razors explanation. All the women could be transvestites. It could be just as simple as makeup and change of clothing, and surgery. But after surgery, what else is there? Now, we all agree that there are medical progressions of all kinds all the time. So what else is there that we don't know about? And it doesn't have to be science fiction. It could be just hormones. And some people might think that's science fiction, but they could be just hormones that can have dramatic results. And Transpocalypse Now, Mr. E, has done some pretty interesting investigations on that.
Where has this listening for you? The first clip that I played tonight was the Game Over Man by Bill Paxton from Aliens. The one woman who, if someone says to me, you're open-minded to transvestigation, I'm like, yeah, I'm open-minded. I'm not one of those people who says it's real, but I'm open to it. The one that I can point to and say really does make me think is Sigourney Weaver. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But listen, there are lots of women that look like men, naturally. And of course, it's certainly, we see lots of ugly men that look like old women. And as people, when we're born, we look similar. And unfortunately, a lot of times when we get really old, we start looking similar again for obvious reasons, biological reasons. But in between, the people that we worship, the people that rule over us, they could be doing whatever it takes to look beautiful through artificial means. And that is my point. That is my main point. And just the prime ministress, the prime sinister of New Zealand. I never heard of her before in my life, because who cares? No one pays attention to New Zealand until the latest attack. But there's definitely something up with her as well.
I haven't looked at her yet. What's her name? What's her name?
Oh my God, it's a tough one. Jacinta
NZPM. I'll just Google it. That's the amazing theory. Jacinta Ardern.
Really, really interesting name. Really strange name.
Explain to me why is that interesting? Explain that. Don't pick up. What's the?
Well, I've never heard of it. I've never heard of that name. That's why I think it's strange.
Oh, okay.
Jacinta something. It's very. I don't know what origin story we have about that name. But she was born and bred through the UK. She came up through the UK. So.
All right, well, I'm taking a good look at her, and I have to say, she's looking very good for an old duck. She must be close to 40.
No, she's young. She's young. That's not old. I think that's old.
Oh,
I guess.
Oh really?
Hold on, let's find
out how...
But go to Transpocalypse Now, and see, I think Mr. E, I can't remember what his name is, he did something on Three Kiwis, or what's going on in Kiwiland. Actually, play a bit of that. If you can, I just love his delivery. He just does fantastic videos. I don't care if it's all you don't believe any of it. He does great vids. Look him up. Just Google, do a search in the fake bot Transpocalypse Now Kiwi, and you'll hear what he has to say. It's funny as heck. I didn't even listen to the whole thing myself. That guy is golden. I gotta have him back. Search Kiwi. Apocalypse.
All right, today. All right. Today I'd like to do a video about three former Prime Ministers of New Zealand, and I'd like to dedicate this video to the victims of the tragic false flag shooting they had recently, which resulted in the elimination of people's right to own a gun to protect themselves, their family, and their property. It's a sad day in New Zealand when the tranny takes your guns away. So I'd like to examine two other Prime Ministers they've had who appear to be the same species, Trannysaurus Rex, found on this island nation. All right, so the first one's Helen Clark. Women equality power. That means androgyny. And there's the entity with the broad shoulders. Now, I believe some of these may be wearing hip pads. Quite easy to do underneath all this clothing, right? So they kind of taper in the waist a bit, put on the hip pads. But you can see the shoulders are broad, all right, in general. And the shape of that skull always has that kind of strange vampire-like smile to kind of put on a mask. That's their way of putting on a mask, all right, to distort the face a little bit. So this is the type of man that can actually pull off the homely, unattractive politician look that we see all the time. They do it in the United States, too. And they're just laughing at us. You don't see women this scary. Women generally don't look scary like this. This one actually would frighten the children. It frightens me, actually, to be honest. See, look at that. It's just a man, all right? Not every man is extremely hyper-masculine, all right? Some men, you just put a little wig on it, put them in a dress, some female clothes, a bit of makeup, maybe a bit of facial feminization surgery. Doesn't take a whole lot. It's basically just a transvestite, a drag queen. There's probably people in your community who dress up like this on weekends that you don't know about, and they're going to look probably more feminine than this person, all right? After being prime minister, this one worked in the United Nations, right? Which is the worldwide organization to bring about the transpocalypse, all right? That's what it is. Promoting the globe deception, sustainable development, all right? We know what that means. We're farm animals. All right, so administrator of United Nations Development Program. And look at on the lower right, Clark wearing the hijab, all right? These New Zealand trans prime ministers like to wear the hijab for some reason. What's going on with that? And look at this. Forbes upgraded her position to 21st most powerful woman in the world. And this person was a potential UN Secretary General. And look down below. Helen Clark officially submitted her nomination as New Zealand's candidate for the 2016 UN Secretary General selection. In an interview on the same day, Clark stressed that she was running as the gender-neutral best candidate and not on the basis of being a woman. All right, so Clark admitted to being gender-neutral. All right, Clark was a gender-neutral candidate at the gender-neutral United Nations. All right, the United Abominations. What are you trying to tell us? Now, in light of recent developments, we do need to add the teeth to the list of things to examine to determine the sex of a specimen. This one does have very prominent large teeth, and we've seen that quite a bit recently here on my channel. Look at that neck. See, it's kind of got the soft face going on, but that could be explained with a bit of weight gain and as well as estrogen, right? Estrogen will actually give men a more feminine fat distribution, which changes the appearance of the face. I'll talk more about the facial feminization stuff in another video coming up soon. Rainbow New Zealand Charitable Trust, the upside down triangle, the purple dress, the purple rain, the broad shoulders, all right? United Nations Development Project. What are you trying to develop? Sustainable development, a world of androgynes as we establish the new world order, as we evolve into androgynous godhood, all right? That's their belief. That's their plan. And, of course, it just turns us all into abominations. That's the fine print that the serpent failed to tell us. Yeah. Oh, it's got kind of the weird eye as well, like we see a lot. There's some strange fire burning inside of this one. See, when it's younger there, they stand like dudes, all right? The broad shoulders give them a male posture with a male skull. And now we can move on to this one here. This was a prime minister of New Zealand also, all right? Obviously a dude. So you can see the digit ratio. It's about 95% accurate. It's not 100% accurate. I never said it was. But we can see here, it's like a man with makeup on, right? The glasses, it's like a disguise, okay? Just think of like a CIA agent going undercover, dressed like a woman instead of being a man. Now, a well-trained person would be able to spot it in person. But the average sheeple is just kind of blind and naive. Now, if you're in doubt, if you're not sure, just ask a five-year-old child. They probably have a better sense of this than most people do, all right? Look at how it's standing there, okay? Just sit back and observe. Think for yourself. I'm just sharing my views and I believe this is a transvestite. In fact, it's difficult to find any real females on the world stage, right? Just like in ancient Greek theater, all the people on stage were men, including the female characters, right? It's the same now. It never changed. Yeah. See, I see a dude wearing lipstick, some makeup, female clothes, all right? Okay, so those are the three prime ministers of New Zealand. And now we got a few bonus trannies. In fact, two. These are all from New Zealand, by the way, right? That's why they're all in this one video. This is a New Zealand-themed video. Catherine Mansfield, an author. Mansfield, all right? Mansfield. Whose field? It's the Mansfield. Why? She's important. Because it's a tranny, all right? That's why she's famous. That's why, all right? All these authors, all the female authors, all right, the famous ones, they're a bunch of men, okay? They're all men. I've been meaning to make a video about the authors. There's just too many trannies, not enough time. Unconventional lifestyle. Well, for them, it's normal, actually. I think that, you know, they seem to believe they're like of the higher species than we are. They're like the more evolved form of humanity. They're the ones who realize that spiritual entities evolved into kind of temporarily transformed into humans, right? And now their job is to inhabit the material world in our bodies, but then they're going to go back to being gods again, to being spiritual entities. Yeah, so I mean, I see a transvestite here when I look at this person. Do the kiss test, right? If you're a guy, imagine, like, would you kiss this person? It's like, no. Why? Because it feels like I'm kissing a guy, right? That's how I feel if I do the kiss test, all right? Look at that, right there, tranny confirmed, all right? And, of course, the tranny gets a postage stamp, all right? That's how it works. Normal people don't get a postage stamp, but the trannies do. And here's our final tranny of the day. We got the broad shoulders, right? Shoulders wider than the hips. We got the male torso, the male rib cage, the male skull, all right? We got the white snake hair. Otherwise, that's just a dude, all right? Yeah, supermodels are all a bunch of trannies, all right? Come on, we've known about this. You see the Adam's apple there. Oh, you better cover it up. There you go. Thank you very much. I wouldn't want to destroy the illusion, right? The Amazonian supermodel. Now, again, we see some evidence of hip pads or some kind of hip alterations. Now, this one actually does a pretty good job on the hips sometimes. All right, but all three of these, I did a video, in fact, just on this photo right here. They're all a bunch of trannies, all right? McPherson, all these, they're pretty obvious, really, if you just know what to look for. Sports Illustrated, they're all a bunch of trannies, all right? Shoulder to hips, hand on the hips, crossing the legs, all right? Why? Because those shoulders are just too broad and gives it away. It has a male vibe to it, right? Why? Because it is a man. It's a tranny, all right? Crossing the legs, hand on the hips. Oh, same exact pose, right? Yeah, and this one's quite tall. We're going to see in a minute how tall this entity really is. There it is. Taller than Rod Stewart, all right? When you see the rock star being dwarfed by the Amazonian wife, well, there you go, right? That's kind of all the proof you need right there. It's the same for all of them, all right? The rock star, the actor, dwarfed by the tranny wife. They have tranny kids. It's their religion. There's a breeding program going on, all right, very advanced and sophisticated, involving IVF, and they believe that they're descendants of the angels, demigods. That's what they believe, all right? And we're like scum. We're animals, and we need to be sustainably.
Two, two, one, two, am I back? Testing. Had some technical difficulties, and in the interim, it appears as though Ab has left, which is unfortunate. Got some noise in the background. It's 20 to 11. Kids running at night time, mind you, on a Wednesday. Kids running around the hallway of this hotel. Unbelievable stuff. So I better wrap this call up. Unfortunately, Ab left. That's a shame. I was enjoying that chat. The Big Papa Smurf here at fakeologist.com. Doing terrific work. If I do say so myself, Ab of fakeologist.com. Big thanks to all the supporters here at fakeologist.com. Let's play a couple more clips, shall we?
Well, that's great! That's just fucking great, man! Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? Where's the real pretty shit now, man?
You finished.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Maybe we can build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
Claims that she forgot she was carrying that bottle of delicious bourbon, brownest of the brown liquors. So tempting. What's that? You want me to drink you? But I'm in the middle of a trial. Excuse me. Hello, David. I'm really tempted.
Just take it one day at a time and know that I love you.
I love you too, man.
Tumbling down. We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Obviously, there were a lot of people inside the buildings at the time.
From the 7th Precinct, the 1st Precinct, the fire department right here, the 7th Truck, those guys are all right there at Ground Zero when those things went down. And God bless, I know there's a lot of guys there that were around there. Hopefully they made it out.
What was happening around you and the streets around you as this was all going down?
Absolute pandemonium. From my viewpoint up 43 floors, I could see people running like ants, just absolutely scurrying for their lives. Billows of smoke coming through the streets, just walking down the street, just pushing everybody back. And then several minutes after, it looked like it had just snowed over the entire area.
Yeah, the debris, the soot was thick on the street. There's still a dusting of it out here, but when I was standing here and the towers collapsed, we saw police officers running for their lives, screaming, "Get back, get back, get back." And I'll tell you, that's a wake-up call when you see cops running for their lives, and people too, women pushing baby carriages, that sort of thing.
Well, you had the first tower first. That one, when that first went down, it just pushed everybody back, and it was a good 15 minutes before the second tower finally collapsed.
Yeah.
And it was just overwhelming, and by that point, it was just insane.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of similar stories from people who were inside the building. One gentleman we spoke to earlier today, John, was on the 77th floor and said it was a relatively orderly evacuation at that point after the first plane hit the first tower. Everyone going down the stairs, not a lot of panic. But when they got to the 6th floor, he says they felt a second shake. And then people started to really be concerned. Obviously, there were people in the building at the time of this, and some of those people... they haven't recovered them yet, and that's a big issue right now, is trying to get the rescue workers and the emergency crews to the building. There were police officers there and emergency crews there when this was all happening, and they were right at Ground Zero when it all went down. So can we talk to you? What's your role out here right now?
I'm just standing by right now. Can't say what role I'm playing right now.
Well, there's a lot of standing by. There's also concern that some of these other buildings might actually come down. This building right here with the glass that you see, this the nearest tall building, that has structural damage as well. We saw a lot of glass broken out, and a corner of the building appeared to be in distress, and there's concern that there might actually be another collapse of that building.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.